Welcome to the Twilight Zone, folks. Okay, we are plugged in and ready to rumble. It's Tuesday the 15th of November, 2016, unbelievable. Now, our listeners can get this podcast over at iTunes. They just hit 1 billion podcasts over there, so plenty of podcasts to go through on iTunes just hit 1 billion. And we were in the top 5 for a while too, so doing very well with the Kraz Files there, but it is available there on iTunes, and I know a lot of people go over there. It's a great way to get podcasts, so download them there, and also go to our website, krazfiles.com. Just tons of stuff going up there every day, and there's also a big video player there, YouTube player, with lots of clips going up there. Of course, our podcast archives, and lots of links. You can click onto Facebook from there, and Twitter. Facebook is Kraz Files as well, so tons of stuff going up over there. You can also go over to Open Source Truth. Tons of stuff going up there as well, and that also links over to Natural Solutions Facebook page. Dr. Rima doing great work there. Hopefully get her on for a chat again soon. So we're overflowing with information at the moment, so there's tons of stuff happening, and we're building a great network of websites as well. I'm going to go through them sometime tonight for people so they can go and have a look. I'm going to start promoting other websites that people are doing, and we all need to link up a bit here, and because we're causing some big damage, and finally it's starting to, our fruits are starting to bloom and flower. And it's a great, great, you know, we've done so much work, years and years of work, and trying to get the message out. And Graham Little is with me tonight for a chat. And Graham, good to link up with you again.
Adam. Yeah, it's another important week. Each week goes past, Adam. We strike a few new blows and get a few whacks in the head, and we keep going, don't we, Adam?
We do, and, you know, I originally didn't want to go on Facebook, you know, and I thought, oh, well, I'll do it to get my project out there, you know. I mean, I originally just started on Conspiracy Oz with Mick, Conspiracy Oz still going, so good on you, Mick, and started doing the Kraz Files, and just had a basic link site, and built from there, you know. Anyone can do it. Get out there and just start whatever you're good at. Everybody in our health movement, truth movement, Graham, just like you, you're a health freedom advocate lawyer, and I'm doing podcasting, the media side of things. We have a lot of people writing articles now. That's what's really blown me away. A lot of people in the anti-vaccination movement, as they call it, I call it the health freedom movement, are starting. A lot of amazing ladies are coming out and writing these incredible articles in regards to the fight we're up against, and they're extremely intelligent and well-written articles, and we're posting them over at Truth Library as well. Bernie doing a great job, and they're all turning up in Google searches and all over the internet, especially in regards to Jill Hennessy's lie, and we'll go through that tonight. But you know, you go into Google and you search, a lot of information now and our websites are popping up, because the Rupert Murdoch media can't report, and all they can do is lie through their damn teeth, and that's what they do best, because they're conniving spineless, gutless cowards. That's what they are, and they're not going to do the reporting, so we've got to do it for everybody else. So we've got to do it for them, and we don't have the money like they do, but we're still proving that we can have a huge effect, that's for sure.
Well, we've got the people.
People power.
Adam, somebody's got to read these newspapers and watch the TV. That's all of us. So
I don't want to do it.
At something else, then we hurt them there if they start more reading things they think are truthful, don't they?
Well, it's depressing, Graham, to, you know, to read these papers. It honestly gives me a, you know, I feel ill in my stomach. It's just such rubbish, such propaganda, you know, but I have to do it to keep on top of it in order to break it down and do our own stories and put our own way of thinking out there, which is now almost becoming illegal in Australia. We'll have thought police soon. You know, they don't like people thinking for themselves, but, you know, we have to break this material down. And I've done that. I've done that yesterday. Had a huge Facebook response to an article from the Courier Mail, the dreadful Courier Mail, They put an article out on fluoride, which is utter nonsense and propaganda, and it's called Rot Sets In on Kids' Dental Care. And this is because the councils are taking out fluoride in Queensland and around, so the Courier Mail have stepped in and outdone themselves. And this has got a few thousand shares just on Kras Files, and it's done so well because people are waking up to what's really going on, and they understand that industrialized fluoride is toxic in our water, and it's poisoning people. And they understand that, you know, Western continental Europe have rejected and banned and stopped fluoride, and China doesn't put fluoride in the water. There's only a few countries that do, and we're one of them.
Wow.
And they're poisoning.
Maybe we need to do some Facebook searches of dentists that are saying all fluoride water is safe and effective, Adam, and just put a bit of science in there to the APRA board for the dentist. What about that one? Let them have a bit of a mull over some science instead of religious doctrine.
Well, that's right. The Murdoch newspapers don't know anything about science, and you know what this article is fear-mongering. And I think I went on to the Courier Mail, but I'm still banned. I think they won't let me comment. They usually just let the trolls comment. But even if you go on the Courier Mail, there's people just attacking the hell out of this article because it's just fear-mongering, and Janelle Miles wrote it. She has no clue what she's talking about, and she's just exposed herself as another Murdoch media mongrel. That's what I said on the post, and these people know nothing about what they're talking about at all. So it's very, 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 very desperate material coming out of these newspapers, but I'm seeing a lot of people waking up to it, and their fear-mongering doesn't seem to be taking anymore, which is a good sign. As I said, I come on Facebook years ago, and there was just really trolls on there, and you'd go into there wasn't any of the big anti-vaccination groups going around at all, and you would just make a comment, and the trolls would get you off, and you know, but now it's overwhelming. How many people are on here? And I've said it many times, Facebook has turned into a 24-hour, 7 days a week, you know, all year alternative news feed. It just doesn't stop, and it's amazing to see. And we're all part of that now, as well as you. And you're doing the Facebook live videos, and people are able to see you do it in the moment, and it's absolutely amazing. And we're looking at doing something like that soon, you know, going on and getting more information.
That's right. We could be doing this Facebook Live when we get our act together and have a shower and look a bit better than I do at the moment, Adam. That's a bit of a bike ride. I think there's enormous potential for Facebook Live, and I'm hoping that people like us that are past the point of no return in speaking out, we can aggregate, you know, our content and our live, both, you know, what you're doing now with podcasts and written posts, and try and sort of amalgamate them all into something, and it'll drag more people to, you know, a particular area of Facebook, I think, whether it's a Facebook Live, amalgamated natural health line or something like that. So anyway, we can throw that out there and see if the universe can put it all together for us.
I've never seen such an ugly and despicable and low-level attack on natural practitioners and natural medicine in my life in this country. And I told you that before. It's something I never thought I'd see in my country. You know, I love my country. I never thought I'd see something like this taking place, this attack on natural therapies and herbs and natural medicine and homeopaths. It's quite disgusting. And
well, it's much broader than that, Adam.
Yeah, it is. It's very deep.
I mentioned before that, you know, both my integrative doctors were taken out. So, you know, the whole doctor movement that recognises that there is something else out there apart from drug cocktails, they've been absolutely paralysed with fear. Most of them have had disciplinary action through APRA, and both mine too are no longer practising at the moment. And indeed, the main association for integrated doctors, the Australian Integrated Medical Association, took all the names off their website, so you can't actually see who they are because those well-known pranks or hanks or whatever what they call themselves, you know, just will do over their do over their website. So it's also now extended to the nurses. I've got 39 nurses now I'm in touch with that have had APRA complaints. So They've all been disciplined with a new code that was brought in a couple of weeks ago, which I think is an illegal code. So I've got another job on my hands to dissect how that APRA nursing and midwifery board came up with this censorship act on nurses. You know, it's a dangerous step to sort of silence 200,000 nurses if I was the 99,000 doctors registered with APRA. I don't think it'll get them anywhere in the end, because I think the nurses know where all the patients are buried, and all the medical negligence. So this incredible censorship that's happening with the nurses is just another mind-blowing impact on our potential informed consent. I'm almost at the point, Adam, that we should create a new name for all of this, right? Because, you know, I'm sick of the labels of anti-vaxxers and all this nonsense, you've met them all, I've met them all. I mean, the bulk of the anti-vax movement, or we are currently calling sort of pro-choice or freedom of choice, are mothers that have had damaged children, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, even 6 is the president of the AVN, Tasha David. So we're talking about vaccinating mothers, putting out messages that, you know, others should learn the risk that we never did, you know, when they were fed the lie that all vaccines are safe and effective and you've got to take a hit for the community, and sometimes their mother's taking 2 or 3 hits or maybe more with no safety net.
I think
when you're looking at the closing down of any medical doctor talking about vaccination, you're looking at closing down of any nurse, you've absolutely smashed the homeopathy profession that have got an alternative immunisation strategy. I think we should be creating a movement around the absolute core of the medical system, which is informed consent. So I think we should be rebadging all of this as the informed consent movement, people that have informed themselves of the safety and the unavoidable unsafe aspects, not only of vaccines, but right across the whole fraud of polypharmacy, where drug cocktails are administered, you know, like lolly water, you know, from cradle to grave. So informed consent movements. What do you think about that, Adam?
Yes, it's, I think absolutely. Yeah, I think we need to group all of this together. 100%, because you mentioned these mothers before, and they've taken the biggest hit of all. And the thing is, this whole anti-vaxxer thing is it's a smear campaign now, and so these newspapers and News Corp, they only just have to put anti-vaxxer in the heading, and for them, that's enough for people to be put off, and, oh, anti-vaxxers, here we go again, the dirty, unwashed anti-vaxxers with the disease-ridden children, you know, that are a threat to society. But these mothers, they actually vaccinated. They weren't anti-vaxxers, and I've met so many of these people.
Yeah.
And they went and did what they were told to do based on the knowledge that they were given from their doctors, which we now know is all false. And they got vaccinated, and they got these, you know, they got dealt the biggest blow of all, the worst blow of all, and they're now looking after these children, and I feel for them so much, and along with that, they're also being demonized because they,
oh, absolutely,
you know, they were demonized. You're demonized in this country if you don't want to vaccinate, and then if you do vaccinate and your kid gets brain damaged or, you know, or dies, and, you know, and I've told you this before, Graham, that there's no help for these mums in this country. They don't get any help from the government, and so they go on to social media and Facebook, and they join these big groups where a lot of other people are going through the same experiences, and they connect with like-minded people, and it gives them an open forum to discuss and talk to other people about their situation. And when they do that, these rotten, disgusting ghouls we call trolls come in and attack them again for speaking out about it. So it's really a sick situation we have here in this
country. It's quite I hadn't looked into, I mean, I knew that we appear not to have a safety net in Australia. I haven't, you know, putting my legal hat on and having been a regulator of the government, you know, for 2 or 3 years back in the 80s, I'm tempted to put the practicing certificate back on and spend a year at least, you know, solely as a lawyer. I decided to go back to 1986 and examine the actual act, which was introduced by the US government federally, which gave effectively an exemption from liability
for the manufacturers of vaccines in the US, in the US situation, which we believe extends to Australia, but I haven't quite sorted that bit out yet. That's the conventional wisdom, but I'm not sure that's even correct. But the reason why they gave exemptions for the vaccine manufacturers was that back in about 1978, and this is in a court case I can put up on your site if you want. I'll give you the. It's Bruce. Everyone wants to Google it. It's BRUESEWITZ v. Wyeth, WYETH LLC. So it's a Supreme Court of the United States. And this is on page 2, that in 1978 through to 1981, there were only 9 product liability actions taken against the vaccine manufacturers for DTP. See, this is pre the MMR, right? So the DTP being the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, or whooping cough. Now, it then exploded to the point where there were 200 lawsuits in the mid-1980s, and the whole, you can imagine if we had 200 major actions in Australia right now on the flu vaccine, what had happened to CSL share price. So it totally destabilized the vaccine market back then, which was predominantly the DTP, and there were 3 manufacturers, 2 pulled out, and the remaining one, by the name of Liddell, LEDERLE Laboratories. Wait for this one. I couldn't believe this. This is in a court case being quoted. So this last remaining vaccine manufacturer, when we might have had no one manufacturing them, estimated its potential liability for damages to children would have exceeded its annual sales by a factor of 200. Now, let's assume its profit might be 20 times its a 20th of the sale. You're talking about maybe 4,000 times the profit. So it would have bankrupted completely if you're allowed to sue for the damages. And so that's what encouraged the US government to introduce back then what's called the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, which bars people from taking action against manufacturers. But there is a bit of a loophole in Australia we can come back to later. So when you think about that, it's clearly, from putting my legal hat on, how can you say in Australia, if you're a minister, show us your tweets, Hennessy, how can you say all vaccines are safe and effective when 30 years ago, when there are a hell of a lot less, we didn't even have the MMR, a hell of a lot less damage has been done, and all manufacturers would have been wiped out. And the government's introduced an act which says if you have the unavoidable adverse effect, bad luck, you can't sue the court, but we're going to have a compensation scheme in the US. So we recognise the unavoidable, unsafe effects of vaccine in that country. And in Australia, we just pretend, A, they don't exist, but in addition, we don't even have a safety net. We don't have a compensation scheme.
Nothing.
So the poor mother has said, you know, this mythical herd immunity, recognising that the bulk of the population are not vaccinated, namely adults, you've got to take a hit for the community, you know. But if you take a hit, we don't have any flood relief or fire relief for vaccination. You just got to carry this kid around for life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I had 30 mothers in a room on most of Friday afternoon when we substituted a different type of event for the Summit Against Corruption. I was hoping to flush people out of the woodwork, but fear kept them behind closed doors. But we did manage to get 30 incredible, mainly mothers. There were a couple of fathers. And, I mean, one in particular, and I'm hoping that we will have a Facebook Live. This is the first one I want to do. And she's an incredible woman. And she wheeled a pram in after about an hour. So we're all, you know, bearing our stories around the table. And then she walked, and there was a 2 or 3 year old girl in the pram. And we got to her story. And she said, well, I want to talk about my 19 year old daughter. And we're thinking, oh, okay, I wonder where she is. And, of course, the 19-year-old daughter was in the pram. And she basically had a complete cessation of development not long after some significant vaccinations, and she's now still where she was when she's 2 or 3, and she'll be in a pram like that for life. It's incredible. And of course, the particular Melbourne-based children's hospital have just completely, for 18 years or whatever, you know, made this mother's life hell, because they just not acknowledged that it's got anything to do with the vaccination. And so, oh, it must be genetic and all this. So you don't just go through the horror movie of taking a hit for the community. You get bullied by the absolute creme de la creme, the medical community, personally and as a family, and then all the financial problems that are associated with, you know, managing this poor girl's life. So, you know, that's just one of many examples. So when you go back to the Show Us Your Tweets saga from Minister Hennessy, where she was deliberately trying to scare every limb of the pro-choice groups, or what I would say the informed choice movement, from participating in social media full stop, because she's got her spies in all the groups, as you and I know.
It's a troll.
And they're prepared to lift that information out of secret Facebook groups, closed Facebook groups, or publicly if we put it there, and then forge their whole origin and create them into a tweet, and then put that front page of the Herald Sun, and then go on TV and radio. And then when the scam is disclosed and you go back and you point this out to everybody, and I did have an hour with the Herald Sun reporter, they're sticking to their guns, and not one media, to my knowledge, I don't know whether you've seen any, retracted their original Show Us Your Tweets saga story, which was, you know, these vile, so-called vile anti-vaxxers, you know, bagging poor Minister Hennessy, you know, in public, which she invented the whole story. So, you know, how corrupt are the media? At least the good part about it was that we think, obviously, you've published it and I've published it and, you know, our Sydney friends published it, that you know, the identity of Reasonable Hank, and we know that, you know, Reasonable Hank worked in with Minister Hennessy on creating that whole story. And both of those individuals, Reasonable Hank and Minister Hennessy, have now formed a complaint I lodged to the Broad-Based Commission Against Corruption in Victoria some 3 weeks ago. And any additional information that's coming through, I'm feeding that through to the commission. So hopefully, you know, this could put a lot of pressure. It may be that the Broad-Based Commission Against Corruption is corrupt too. I don't know. Hope not. But I do know that Minister Hennessy was a former deputy chairman, and in her previous role before she got into government, she was the shadow minister for corruption. So she must have been taught pretty well, I'd say, in that shadow role. So, you know, I'm not holding my breath that the Corruption Commission will act, but you'd have to be a bit nervous if you're the minister on what you do from here. And if we can raise the bar that you can't go around quoting this religious mantra that all vaccines are safe and effective, which is a total lie, it's false and misleading, it's probably criminally negligent, and it flies in the face of the US Act, you know, reinforced in the recent Supreme Court case in 2010, that all vaccines are unavoidably unsafe, and they've got a safety net in the US that provides, you know, different forms of compensation depending. You don't have to actually show causation. You know, it's a good act in a way, although they have administered it pretty tightly, but at least they've got something where you don't have to go through the long, tortuous negligence route and try and prove that the vaccine damage was caused by the vaccine and not some mythical, you know, gene somewhere in the genome, you know, which is what they love to say. The autism epidemic's suddenly, you know, sprung from the genetic manipulation.
Autism. I've seen American morning breakfast shows where they're talking about the autism epidemic. That is just so tremendous, so absolutely, you know, it's so high now. And I've put up so much stuff in Australia that the media are trying to hide, where the the schools, the teachers are struggling to cope with all the new autistic children. But there was actually these shows where they were saying, should we even label them autistic anymore? Because it's almost, insulting to them. So we should just let them assimilate into society. But, I've got...
Well, that'd be normal, right? They sort of have a new category. Be normal kids. Got normal kids, serious, brain damage. And
well, they're just saying...
They'll have schools for people that have, So these super, super intellectual kids that... haven't been damaged, they'd be in a minority classroom somewhere.
It's funny to look at studies. I can put these up. Professor Baron Cohen did these studies on autism and people saying that autism is genetic. When they're looking at many instances with identical twins where one has autism and the other does not. Identical twins, identical. So, I there's a lot of people pushing now that autism is genetic, as autism cases skyrocket. And that would suit the drug companies very well. But if you go back in history and you look at autism cases and you look at them now, it's absolutely astonishing. And if it was genetic, it would have always been like that. So that's an absolute con. It's an absolute lie. It's almost sickening, that lie, to say that autism's genetic. But there are some people pushing that, and I think they're extremely ill.
There was a genetic scientist interviewed, I think it could have been about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I looked on the vax.com website to see if they'd put it up, like as a special one, but I was watching him live when I was out on my bike accident, a rest, and he said, look, I'm about to put a book out. So this was about 3 weeks ago, and the book was supposed to be published on the November the 8th, so it should be out. And this genetic scientist gave an interview to Polly as part of the VaxBus situation and said, I've researched 2,000 articles, all the peer-reviewed research on autism. And he concluded in the book, which we've got to get our hands on this, that the environmental factors were clearly the most important driver from studying all of the literature, which the CDC, the Center for Disease Creation, Center for Disease Control, Adam, had ignored. So that's going to be a pretty dynamite book to see how he's researched the whole thing and why a genetic scientist is putting the codwash on this genetic story. So it might be available on Amazon. I did post it, but it's the problem with Facebook is where the hell do you find something from 3 weeks ago? Have you got any clues on that? Not one of my favourite tools, Facebook, but I know I've got to be on it now. But I just find an extraordinarily difficult medium to actually coordinate action from. It's good for a lot of things, but to try and coordinate large groups of people, I'm finding it pretty tricky.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez, another elephant in the room, Peter, that I've spoken to the great Jim West about many times, seems to be ultrasound machines. It's something that a lot of people who are stuck on the vaccine issue don't want to go into, but diagnostic ultrasound machines could be causing autism as well. And interestingly enough, we just had a big article from RT just the other day, actually, ultrasound in first trimester of pregnancy linked to autism. This is a brand new study come out. So they're saying having that first ultrasound can be an exciting experience for parents. We've talked about this, of course, but they're now linking that first exposure to ultrasound in that first trimester has now been linked to increase severity of autism in children born with that disorder. And Jim West has gone into this deeper than anybody. He's written a book called 50 Human Studies in Utero Conducted in Modern China that Indicate Extreme Risk for Prenatal Ultrasound, a new bibliography. And in China, they continue to study ultrasound, and he's got 50 absolute studies showing this as well. So it's and he also has a very interesting side out looking at this. And he looks at countries like Cuba, which had a total vaccine rate across the entire country. And then he shows all the graphs as well in Japan. And then when the ultrasound machines were brought in, the autism increased through the roof. Wow. And we're also looking at vaccines maybe acting as a trigger after ultrasound has been given as well. So I can send you all this.
This
is all clinical research and studies, but it seems like ultrasound is also attacking babies in utero and causing damage at a cell level.
Wow.
At that minute degree, and there's many, many incredible books now coming out on this. And Jim West has written a book on it, and he's on his second book now. And he said he told me personally that he's absolutely horrified at how deep this rabbit hole's going on ultrasounds.
So wow.
it's unbelievable.
There's just so many things to look at, isn't it? When you talked about dentist before, and then ultrasound, then you've got, mammograms and everything that they do,
chemtrails, GMOs. It's an assault on the human being, on the human immune system.
Where are we going?
Yeah, in utero.
I found this mind-boggling geneticist I posted at October the 25th at 1:31 p.m., and his name's Jack. It doesn't give his surname here. Jack Talks, hashtag vaxxed, in Columbus, United States. So that's the doctor that's written that book on the studying the 2000 thing. So that's, I'll just try and get his name, but it doesn't show up on this. So we better get that book. But that's the hashtag, Jack Talks, hashtag vaxxed. And that was 21 days ago. So that's going to be massive, I think. Because, you just need more and more people to put the science on the table, and the more and more different angles people are putting the science on the table, how long can the Center for Disease Control hold the fort that they don't have to do proper trials? Like, it's extraordinary.
It's getting a little bit scary now, and I think because so many people, and I think the movie Vaxxed is causing so much damage, but a new article out of the US, and I got this off McCola, they're talking about government in the US wiping recent vaccine injury data from a website. And you were talking about this before, how they have a vaccine injury compensation program, VICP, that the Congress created under the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. So that's in the US. Mm-hmm. We don't have that here. And obviously, the American public are the ones who pay for this because there's a tax on the vaccines that they buy. So that goes into it. But they're and also they have a vaccine injury court, which we don't know anything about here. But they're talking in this about the U.S. government removing vaccine injury court statistics from public websites. And this is according to investigative journalist Cheryl Atkinson. In March last year, 2015, the government has removed the latest vaccine injury court statistics from 2014 and 2015 from a publicly reported chart. So because so many people are going in with so many injuries now, and so much information is coming out, and so much the spotlight is being shone on this, they're just erasing it now. And we're looking at $3 billion has been paid out since I think the 1980s in the United States alone.
Not a lot of money, in a way.
$3 billion.
How much are the drug companies made?
Yeah, I know, but
Have you thought? Like you and I, and quite a lot of people, are of the view that the mandatory adult vaccination agenda is a critical part of what we're caught up in.
Absolutely,
The potential from 2020 that'll be brought in the US, and my gut feeling is it might come in before Turnbull goes back to the
electorate, so I wouldn't mind betting they might try it in 2019 in Australia and
I think so.
Adults into, you know, passports and so on.
Everything.
Pensions and
they brought in driver's an adult license. Vaccination register. You don't do that. You don't bring in an adult vaccination register if you're not planning on vaccinating all adults.
Yeah.
That's what... And no, nobody really in this country got spooked. They didn't even know about it.
No. So...
Just, you know, wake up from your slumber and have a little bit of a look around and, you know, go back to sleep. But, you know, yes. And Dr. Reamer's already predicted this. Because Dr. Reamer, through the Natural Solutions Foundation, they're able to get documents, like pretty heavy documents from CDC and all of this, you know, World Health Organization, stuff that I can't get access to. You know, she predicted this years ago that they're going to go for the mandatory vaccination of all adults. And I just came back from overseas into Sydney Airport and they're staring at everybody. And this woman's going around asking everybody in the line, you know, where have you been? Checking the way everybody looked, and I noticed these guys were talking about people and staring at people. You know, you're seeing these flu things everywhere. You know, they're making a big serious deal about it. You know, but you know, at the end of the day, Graham, what is the flu?
Let's not start on the flu.
What is it? Does it exist?
We'll get back to the flu, but I was trying to sort of work out how big the game is, like who are we fighting, and you know, what is the implication if this is correct, and that the manic censorship of all natural prakis, and any doctor is prepared to be honest, and any nurse prepared to be honest about this religious bullshit mantra that all vaccines are safe and effective. Go back to the number game, right? We're talking about the biggest companies in the world that are funding the political system more than the oil and gas industry. They're already mega. Now, let's put my venture capital hat on, 20 years in the stock market. If you listen to Brandy Vaughan, www.learntherisk.org, give Brandy a plug. She's quoting the profit margins on vaccines at around about 15%, so I'm just taking that on her dynamite research. PBS drugs, pharmaceutical benefit drugs that we're used to at the GP, around about 5%. So the profit margins are triple for the vaccines, and obviously got no liability, which is handy. Then if they're successful, and obviously with Clinton it would have been a rubber stamp, and they got the adult mandatory up in 2020, you're talking about 300 million adults in the US alone, let's forget Australia and everybody else, compared to 20 million children. So that's, you know, roughly, you know, crudely, you're getting 15 times more customers mandated by the government, which is everyone, and three times the profit margin. Now, I'm used to backing companies that are going to grow their profits quicker than the bigger companies and cleaning up, right? That's the whole concept of being a venture capitalist and giving them all the wherewithal, money and human resources and covering the political agendas against them to make them grow. But we're talking about the biggest companies already in the world could get a 45-fold increase in what they're making from vaccines. Now, the stock market is valuing profits in multiples, right? And they're all selling at 20 times their profits. So work out, say, 20 times their profits, and they might sell at 30 times their profits if they think they get the whole 8 billion, 7 billion people on all this crap, right? The stock market might value, you know, Merck at 30 times its profit or 40 times its profit. So suddenly the profit might go up 45-fold, and the stock market might value that 45-fold increase at double the normal way they value a company. You might have like 100 times increase in the value of Merck and all these other companies that are going to clean up, let alone all the doctors that are going to make so much money, you know, cleaning up the incredible bad health of the entire community, needing more and more PBS drugs. Like it's we're talking about, I reckon I'll be able to show, if I looked at the market cap of the top 10 pharmaceuticals, I reckon I'll be able to show if they get adult vaccination up, the value of those 10 companies will exceed the entire world stock market.
That's right. That's
how big I reckon the play is. So
it's huge.
They can bribe anybody, and that's why they've been able to get all their people in running the National Health and Medical Research Council, like Professor Kelso. She's a who and who through the zoo, World Health Organization, key scientist, influenza vaccine you were talking about before. You've got the whole of ARPA, the Australian Health Regulator, Practitioner Agency, Regulation Practitioner Agency, which regulates all the nurses and doctors and et cetera. They're run by Gunn UK, WHO representative, World Health Organization, specialist in global public health. So all the key positions in Australia, and I haven't checked around the world, but I guarantee they will be, are plants from this global agenda to jab us all and control the whole trade situation and remove any ability under the old TPP deal to sue any of the big companies. I mean, it's a pretty clever play when you think about it.
That's right. That's right.
And we're just going to sit there and roll the sleeve up and say, thanks very much, you know. We can't wait for how healthy I'll be for the next 20 years, you know.
It's
pretty scary, isn't it? Like, you virtually want to find a little island, don't you?
It's a worry, and I think people should be very, very concerned. I put an article up the other day on the GHSA, which has been done by Obama in the United States. It's the Advanced, the Global Health Security Agenda. They always have these names, but you'll find that this is, you'll find, Graham, that this all of this, everything that we're talking about, everything is Agenda 21, now Agenda 2030. You know, that's what it is. Sorry. There you're back, Graham. There you are. You are back. I was just mentioning the GHSA, which is the Global Health Security Agenda. And so that is medical tyranny. Obama quietly signed that to advance the global vaccination agenda. This will be for all adults. And we're looking at here, detect and responding to infectious disease threats. So we have...
That's you and me, Adam. We'll be...
absolutely.
First cab off the rank to be whisked away and an arm rolled up.
Yep.
Cop this, you too. We've got you spotlighted and...
That's right.
Put your aluminium in your one.
It's all being done, you know, and people are not aware of this. And, you know, anybody, any adults in Australia who are buying on into the Murdoch media mind slop... and the propaganda and the fear-mongering, you know, you have to understand that this is coming for you as well, because you're not going to be able to have a job. You know, you're going to have to go on. I don't exactly know, Peter, what the adult vaccination register would be, whether it's a code or a type of number. Maybe you've looked into this, but I'd say, to be a nurse or a school teacher or anyone working with children, then it's going to go on from there. I'm already speaking to people who work in factories and offices, and they're pushing the flu shots on them. You're not going to be able to continue to be employed. You know, it's not going to be your boss's fault. It's going to be the government and the councils coming down on them. You're going to need to be on the adult vaccination register to maintain your work, to keep your work. And as you said, travel, passport, driver's license, all sorts of things.
Pensions are killer. They're going to kill off all the elderly.
Yeah, another
euthanasia policy like Risperdal.
Exactly. Yep. Killed off my grandmother, I would say. She was never the same after they gave her a flu shot and she got shingles. We've talked about this before. It's not like they're making it mandatory, but they're making life almost impossible to live unless you do get these shots. And don't think you're just going to get one flu shot and then you're done. You're going to have to get your updated shots to maintain.
Oh, every year.
To be on the register, otherwise you're not going to be employed. Your boss isn't going to be able to keep you on the paybook. So people don't understand this. It's coming for every single person, and that's what they're now doing in the United States, and they're gearing up for it here.
Well, the nurses I'm talking to are still able to avoid the flu shot, but they have to wear the mask. So they hate wearing the mask for 3 months. It's a pain. But I wonder about the doctors. It'd be very interesting to know what the doctor immunisation rate is. I mean, the GP, they're constantly getting people through their rooms, are they all fully immunised and up to date with their boosters? I mean, how can we put pressure to have a doctor immunisation register and a politician's immunisation register and a politician's wife, you know, and children's immunisation register? You know, what are they doing? I mean, they'd lie to us anyway that they had it, I suppose. I mean, we'd say, yeah, well, there's a needle and it's got nothing in it. But are they getting it? I mean, surely the politicians know. I mean, how could a politician not know that all vaccines are unavoidably unsafe? They must know that.
Tony Abbott did.
That's right. So what are they doing? I mean, how are they going to get out of this? How are they getting out of chemtrails? How are they getting out of GMO in the food? What are they doing? You know, like I've heard that there's two types of vaccines, and the elite have got the vaccines that have only got the disease in it, and they're removing all the adjuvants. Well, I don't know whether that's true or not, but I mean, why would they be pummeling their family full of this crap? I mean, and you look at the immunisation rate in Melbourne. I looked it up the other day. They're crowing about getting to 93% or whatever Australia-wide. It's 86% in Melbourne, so that's 14% are not immunising in the CBD. So we're going to put out a tourist warning, don't come to Melbourne because it's, you know, full of anti-vaxxers. I mean, is that the business community not feeding their kids the vaccines? I don't know. I mean, Brighton's about 88%, so there's a couple of suburbs that are huge pockets of anti-vaxxers, you know.
Well, if I look at the sort of the good side of this scenario and the bad side, if you look at what the government are saying, they're saying, okay, like 93% of, is it children in Australia vaccinated? And they're saying the no jab policy, which is totally illegal. It's it's a disgraceful fear-mongering machine. That's what it is. And it's not grounded in science. It's blackmail. It's not grounded in science. It's every reality.
Correct. I've looked at that in the Crimes Act.
It's a crime.
I can't see why it's not a crime. It's got every element of blackmail. It's just
blackmailing people. That's what it is. But if you look at say they're saying, okay, no jab is working and we want a 95 vaccine rate. This is all about herd immunity, which is a farce. So, you look at China where they have total blanket vaccination and they're having all these outbreaks. You know, I mean, even if every single person in Australia was vaccinated, you're still going to have massive outbreaks and you're going to have massive autism and you're going to have massive blood cancers in children. And they're still going to be blaming anti-vaxxers. Herd immunity is an absolute sham as well as vaccines.
Well,
there's no science behind vaccines. Whatsoever. But let's just say that they do get that 95% target. That leaves 5% of kids. And if you start getting adults vaccinated, then it changes the game here a little bit because you're getting into travel, you're getting into driver's license, you're getting into things that are important, and most importantly, you're getting into putting food on the table. And most adults are going to step forward and they're going to get vaccinated, you know. And it's going to isolate those pockets you're mentioning. It's going to isolate people. You're going to get those people who outright refuse to vaccinate. And they're going to be easy in this country anyway to coordinate off, to corner and make an example of, and also take their kids through neglect, through the child protection services.
Absolutely.
And people need to understand
court,
that's
custody,
yes,
the whole thing.
Child neglect, they can do that. But what do you reckon, Peter? I'm thinking the government, of course, they're going to lie because that's all they do is they lie through their teeth and they use the media to lie.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, I'm sort of looking, well, what about the next 5 to 10 years to decade? If we just look at that, for example, 5 to 10, I think in the vaccine rates may start to decline.
Well, it won't be if it's mandatory. I think there's so many people onto this now, and if Trump's serious and the vax thing, you know, is pretty serious in the States, and the whistleblower stuff in the CDC, I mean, there's holes in the dam wall, you know, everywhere you see. Now, if we all put pressure on all the health ministers and they're all under corruption complaints, they're all under misrepresentation acts because they're making false and misleading statements. All the people behind the handbook, the Australian Immunisation Handbook, I think, are making false and misleading statements. none of the recommendations are based on the mandatory guidelines of the National Health and Medical Research Council. So I say the entire thing is false and misleading and could be subject to court action. You've got doctors prepared to stand up to ARPA now. You've got nurses prepared to stand up to ARPA. You've got people prepared to stand up to family court that I'm aware of. That you're suddenly going to get the science actually into the system being debated where it's been covered up. So there's so many possible angles to hit this religious mantra that all vaccines are safe and effective, that I'd be very worried if I was one of these public servants or one of these committee members or one of the politicians, that I could be going to jail because, you know, this is part of criminal activity. It's a criminal corruption, conspiracy. Right? So, you know, there's so many involved. I mean, we'll have to build new jails, I mean, because so many people know about this corruption. So, you know, I think at some point the fear, I think it's already shifted. I think Minister Hennessy panicked. She took a punt on the Show Us Your Tweets saga and tried to just muzzle us all again, and it's backfired and it's united us all. That are concerned about informed consent issues. And I'd be nervous. You'd have to be getting nervous you could get jailed. Like, eventually some court might not be corrupt in Australia and we'll make an example of one minister. And I think the time bomb could be coming with the DTP vaccine, right? Now, this I haven't had a chance since it was announced by Turnbull. I think it was Friday a week ago. Might be, what's that, well, probably about 10 days ago, they made an announcement, and for the first time I could remember, probably the swine flu one was another one, they pulled the Year 7 DTP booster. Did you see that one?
That's right.
So
that,
so right. They've decided that one vaccine is no longer safe and effective. Well, certainly not effective, so they pulled
Pull one of the boosters.
It's either not safe or it's not effective or it's not safe and effective.
It doesn't work.
You and I know that it doesn't work. They all know that it doesn't work. The figures behind closed doors are something like 140,000 whooping cough numbers in Australia, whereas the old whooping cough, I think, had 300 cases back then. So we've got an unbelievable cover-up on the epidemic. And we've got a prime minister backing down in the middle of a no jab, no pay, you know, on a whooping cough. Now, we're also telling mothers to put the whooping cough, you know, to their fetuses. Are we going to pull that recommendation, or is it just the Year 7? You know, there's a problem giving it to Year 7 kids, but it's okay to give to mothers during pregnancy. How long can that absolute fraudulent, corrupt manslaughter slash whatever, massive boost in stillbirth, how can they get away with that fraud on pregnant women when they're pulling it from children in Year 7? Now, wait for this one, right? This is a big time bomb, right? And I always look, you know, because I'm a lawyer, I just look for single words or single events. I don't need much. I just need one word wrong. I need one mistake. And like Hennessy, and she's bang, she's in the Corruption Commission. Right? I've got plenty more I could have put in there. I'm waiting. But this is absolute time bomb for the government. They've not only pulled the Year 7 booster, they've pulled the school immunisation register. So is that, Adam, because they don't want us all to know just how big the problem is? Why are they pulling the school immunisation register two months after they've brought in an adult one? It doesn't add up. I mean, there's a big play there that we need a whistleblower coming out, guys, and you can get to Graham Little on WhatsApp if you want to do an encrypted message any time. Let's just see what is behind that. So how can you then say there's a problem with a whooping cough to school kids? You've ramped up. It used to be given at 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, I think, and then there might have been another one at 12 months. And they're now giving it to the pregnant women. Oh my God. And because they're giving it to the pregnant women and stuffing up the fetus, when the fetus, if it does survive and not another stillborn birth or some abortion, late-term abortion, or whatever they want to label, another vaccine-damaged fetus, If it gets to 2 months of age, they're finding that the, this is the mail I'm getting, that the whooping cough is not working as effectively at 2 months if you've given it to the mother during pregnancy. And so because it doesn't work at 2 months, 4 months and 6 months, well, they have, to give the kid another jab of whooping cough, I think at 18 months or something. I haven't got it in front of me. But so they've added effectively two more whooping coughs by giving it to the mother. They're adding an extra one to the kid because it doesn't, you know, and then now they're saying there's a problem in year seven. Well, what the hell is going on? You know, and we know that the older children are giving it to the babies.
The family members, the kids. Correct. This is happening all
it's
the
not
time.
Coming, it's not coming from the unvaccinated. It's not coming from the vaccinated. So the stupid vaccine got an epidemic. Yeah.
It's coming from the brothers and sisters who are going to the childcares and the schools and they're giving it to the babies at home and the Murdoch media are blaming unvaccinated kids and there was none there.
And then you go, you have a listen to these stats from Del Bigtree, right? The producer of that. For those that are not aware, he was quoting last week, so I tried to work it out the other day how much aluminium is in our vaccines, and I couldn't actually. I went to the product information, and so I couldn't actually work it out. What he's saying in the US that at 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, the amount of aluminium that the kids are getting is something like 1,000 micrograms at 2 months, again at 4 months, again at 6 months, and that the EPA's got a 25 microgram, you know, maximum that they think is safe, you know, in their rules. So, you know, the amount of aluminium the kids are getting is just off the map, you know, let alone in the US they're still keeping the mercury in the flu vaccine and wanting to have that every year. So you've got a nice little build up of mercury every year. That's a clever move, isn't it? You know, getting back to the point I made, there's a time bomb when they've reversed adding a vaccine, when they're taking one vaccine off. That's where we've got to focus. We have to find out what's gone wrong with the DTP for them to pull it from the year sevens and to stop the school immunisation register.
Pulled the booster.
Yeah. So why? What are they covering up?
Not the
actual
vaccine, though.
No. They're decreasing a vaccine and they're stopping the school immunisation register. It doesn't make sense. I mean, I haven't had a chance to research it. Someone else. No doubt in the informed choice movement's already way more informed than me on it, but I know it's a time bomb, and they can imagine that's the last thing they would have wanted to do. They wouldn't have wanted to do that.
You
they
think
must
some
have
pressure
been
happening here.
Well, the problem is a lot bigger than what we think with that whooping cough, and I think it's because it's a time bomb. And when I had an off the record conversation with someone, and I respect that because I'm hoping I can get one media to turn, right? So I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I could put all the media in that corruption case. Every single media that bought the bullshit show us your tweet saga story. I mean, how can a media, television, radio, and print all not ask for the actual tweets? I mean, how can they?
You're talking about Jill Hennessy.
Correct.
Health Minister.
So all of those media are part of that corruption with Reasonable Hank. I've already put Reasonable
They're
Hank
all
Minister
sucked
Hennessy,
into the
right. Hole. I could lodge them, but I'm not going to put them in just yet because I'm hoping one of the media might actually report it.
Right? Oh, you mean Peter Tiernan?
No. I'm talking about the mainstream media. One of the TV stations, one of the radio. Yeah. Well, I don't want to call him Peter Tini or Petey Tina. I'm sure Brett's on the money, by the way.
Come on, Peter. Who are you, mate? Come on.
Yeah, but my point is that when I have had an off the record and with one journalist, and he's coloured in his thinking quite validly by an experience that happened to him. And he related a story of his niece, and his niece nearly died at 24 months of age. 24 weeks she was born, right? So that's quite premature. And six of the babies, I think, got whooping cough, and the niece nearly died. She was very lucky. And so the view was that this whooping cough is such a critical problem that he now thinks that vaccination is such a critical issue. I tried to put in front of him that, look, it could well be what I'm being told is correct, that it's because of the vaccination that your niece nearly died. When we can put the doubt into that media person's mind that it was not an unvaccinated person that nearly caused the death of his niece, it was actually a vaccinated person with a vaccine that doesn't work. And you can now see the government, since I had that discussion, right, has pulled it for the school children. I've got a chance with that journalist because he then might turn to be investigative and he might actually say, because I warned him about the adult mandatory stuff, which he didn't realise, that suddenly, as an adult, he's going to be in trouble. And B, his belief system that it was an unvaccinated that caused the problem for his niece is no longer true. He's got a personal interest in stopping mandatory vaccination, and he would realise that he got his foundation belief for this religious mantra wrong. And then if you got one key journo switches, you know, that's like gold for the informed consent movement. We only need one. We don't need them all. We just need one mainstream to work it out.
You brought up like 1,000 things there.
Well, I normally do that. I throw them all out there, and they're clear in my mind, and they're not clear in others. But you're not, you know, when you behave like a barrister cross-examining doctors, which I did recently, you're not supposed to. They're not supposed to understand everything you're putting in front of them, are they?
That's right. There's so many important points that you made, though, you know.
Okay, well, what's the most important one? And then let's see if we can get that clear.
Let's just go through a couple. I'm just going to put them through the wood chipper. You know, right. I mean, what you just mentioned there is very important because I follow the No Jab campaign, and anybody, you know, honestly, with any common sense would have to look at that because it was spearheaded by the Daily Telegraph. Anybody in another country who was looking in at that would say, why is a big Australian newspaper spearheading a no jab, no play campaign like that for forced vaccinations on the children? Mm-hmm. And I followed the whole thing. It was unbelievable. So we know about Rupert Murdoch. We know about James Murdoch working for GlaxoSmithKline. And we know about Rupert Murdoch being up to his eyeballs with the vaccine industry. And you look at all these people involved with Murdoch and the papers, and you know, there's just so much connections to be made there. You know, it absolutely defies belief when you see this. But, you know, I remember when Tony Abbott was in, because he came out and admitted on national television, that was our former prime minister, that he would not give his own daughters the Gardasil vaccination. And I've sent you videos from South America, from Colombia, where they're showing these schools after girls getting vaccinated and they're flopping around on the floor like fish out of water after getting that. It's just destroying young girls all over the planet, just destroying them and turn them into old ladies, and sterilizing them, and it's an insidious, evil, and satanic weapon against the human race, and it's disgusting. And I remember Tony Abbott just wasn't moving on this no jab campaign, and I remember Claire Harvey was getting very vicious, and they amped it up. And then I was thinking to myself, and I think I said it on a podcast. I think I was thinking they need something here. You know, they need something big to bring this in. And then we had the Riley baby. And of course, no one in the freedom movement is allowed to mention Riley because we're you know, it makes us evil. And nobody wants to see babies die at all. You know, I mean, this is a horrible situation, but it does stand to point that the Riley situation and this mother seems to be involved with the pharmaceutical industry, but that case brought in single-handedly the no jab laws pretty much overnight. And I spoke to former MP for the Liberal Party, Jason Woodforth, about this, and he said, I'd never seen a bill so serious get put through so quick. You know, which was absolutely unbelievable. But there you go, it happened, and it's gone on from there. And of course, it's headed into no jab, no play, no pay. And I've even been informed that they had no jab, no job on the table, which links up with the adult vaccination register. So that's what they're, it's getting so ridiculous, and that's what they're sort of been looking at. So it was interesting you mentioned that, because but it was spearheaded by the media, and the media have a lot of power. And I along with the Natural Solutions Foundation and Dr. Rima, we came up with a direct debate challenge in regards to vaccines, and for Dr. Rima's show and this show. For anybody to debate over true vaccine science, and it's been open for 2 years. We created an actual website page for it and everything.
No, they can't.
I had no's from, you name it. I had no's mm-hmm. from just the health ministers, politicians, just everyone you could poke a stick at. I've just had some recent ones with some guys mouthing off about this, and they just disappeared as soon as I mentioned her. Nobody will debate us over this. And another quick point, Peter, I want to make about the media and people like Reasonable Hank, as they call themselves, and this new Philip Gluyas and this AV list where they're naming and shaming people.
Yes, I'm not on it. That's good.
Yeah, I'm at the top.
I know, you're up there, but good luck to them.
Well, to bring people up on this, sick man, has Philip Gluyas, his name is, and we've got another article up going up on the Kras Files tonight on this, has put up an anti-vaccination list, and I don't even think they do that to pedophiles, and they're named people who just simply don't want to vaccinate, and their suburbs where they live and everything. So I take that as a direct threat. That's what it is. It's a direct threat saying to other wackos out there, here's where they sort of live, go get them. But you know, Peter, you would have to agree that, you know, going back to when the no jab came in, and you look at the Claire Harvey article, anti-vaxxers are baby killers, you know, and and you look at all these Murdoch columnists coming out and saying that you're child abusers, you know, Jane Hansen, you're just killers. All the insults and terrible, terrible assault on families in Australia who just simply want to keep their children safe and have done their own research. And you look at the trolls, the endless troll army. You look at anti-vaxxer, wall of shame, things anti-vaxxers say. You look at Reasonable Hank. And you look at all this personal attacks on our movement, and I just see if I can get another one up here. I think I had it, but here we are. This was another one I put up, Graham. This was out of Gizmodo on Gizmodo website, gizmodo.com. This was from Matt Novak. And, of course, Matt wouldn't allow my comment to be printed. And the headline of this is, "The anti-vaccine movement should be ridiculed and shamed because shame works." And I went through this article, and there's not one fact. There's not one scientific truth in anything he says. And then even here he talks about shaming the Ku Klux Klan, which has nothing to do with vaccines. And he talks about shame versus guilt and shaming Americans who don't want to vaccinate, and that if you don't want to vaccinate, you should be shamed and humiliated because that's the only way to make you learn. And so when you look at these rotten ghouls like Reasonable Hank and all these people, and you add it all up, shaming isn't science, it's trolling, and I think about it.
Well,
and
that's illegal, probably.
It's illegal, but never
you've
once.
You've got corrupt regulators won't enforce it.
That's right, but, you know, the whole time I've been involved in this, not one media outlet, not one Murdoch newspaper column, not one TV show, not one morning show, not one newspaper columnist, not one troll, not one health minister, none of them, not one of them have ever offered a single fact that backs up their pro-vaccination push. All they have is insults.
You've got a personal interest now, and I realise that, you know, I can understand what it's like. Must be like for you, you know, with children and be named, you know, on a list like that. I mean, why don't we start up a, which we all share, the conflict of interest, we'll name and shame
the decision makers on their conflicts of interest. And so just as a rough example, there's about 100 names that are in the Australian Immunisation Handbook. The most important ones are the members of the ATAGI, ATAGI, which is the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation. So they're kind of the author of the handbook. I mean, everybody sort of likes to say they're not the author. And when I went through the disclosures of interest, which they reluctantly put out in 2015, so they didn't want to tell anyone before then, one of them, Professor Christopher Blythe, he's conflicted with Pfizer, a drug company. Professor Alan Cheng conflicted with Merck, GSK, Bio, Chris George Clinical, and Gilead. Dr. Nigel Crawford's conflicted with Pfizer, and of course he's director of the influenza specialist group. These are just in Australia. We won't worry about the US one. Professor Michelle Giles is conflicted with Pfizer. Then we've got Associate Professor Noel Heyman. He got a big grant from the National Health and Medical Research Council. Associate Professor Helen Marshall, who forgot to tell her conflicts when I went to see her talk at the University of Adelaide. Poor old Associate Professor Helen Marshall forgot to tell everyone when she recommended the DTaP and the flu vaccine for pregnant women that she had conflicts with Glaxo, Merck, Novartis, Pfizer, and Sanofi Pasteur.
What a shock.
And then when I checked out who was on the TGA influenza committee approving influenza vaccines, there were four people, and naturally Associate Professor Helen Marshall was one of them. And, of course, Helen Marshall's also a member of the Friends of Science in Medicine. And so it goes on. Associate Professor Jodie McVernon, conflicted by CSL, GSK, Novartis, and Pfizer. You had enough there? So there's half the whole committee that decided these recommendations and then left out the entire mandatory code required or conflicted by the drug industry. Then I looked at the chairman who said he didn't have a conflict, and I went to PubMed and I looked up his second article and I found four drug companies. So not only did he have a conflict, he didn't even disclose it. So, it's pretty sick, mate. So why don't we start naming and shaming these people about what they're getting? And that could include the grants they're getting from the National Health and Medical Research Council. We found about 100-plus in the Friends of Science in Medicine are on the gravy train. And even the CEO of the National Health and Medical Research Council, if you want to know who approves them, she must have been involved in this decision to pull the DTaP vaccine off the booster for year 7 2 weeks ago, I was telling you about. The way all these recommendations work is that the guidelines which go out to the doctors and are put on the Immunise Australia website have to be approved by the Chief Executive Officer of the National Health and Medical Research Council. Well, that's Professor Anne Kelso, the world's greatest influenza scientist. And the year before she was appointed the CEO of this peak body, part of the Australian Health Department, the year before, which is 2014, she got a $14 million grant to do influenza research. Well, I want to know what happened to the $14 million. I mean, someone else spending the money, and then, the next year she gets appointed the CEO, right? Now, guess what happened to the chairman of the Australian Immunisation, the National Health and Medical Research Council, which supervises the whole vaccine thing. Guess where the chairman left, the previous chairman left? He became the chairman of CSL, the old Commonwealth Serum Laboratory. And, of course, the CSL are the main players in the flu vaccine. And guess who took the copyright on the Gardasil? It was CSL. I didn't realise that until I did some research. So that was an Australian scientist. CSL took it over. And then CSL gave the worldwide license to market Gardasil to Merck, and they're getting the payback through all of that. So here we have the government chairman moving ship and being part of the main vaccine player in Australia. So then I go and look and see what the share price happened to CSL when the rest of the world's in a global meltdown. In the last 5 years, I think the share price has gone up 500%, right? Now, Now, I've told you the conflicts of the actual committee that make up the recommendations. The actual The actual National Health and Medical Research Council is made up of 12 members. So I don't want to go through all of them. They have no requirement, those 12, effectively the board members, but they call them council members. So this is the very peak part of it all. They have no requirement to disclose their conflicts of interest. I couldn't find anything in their annual report. I wrote to them and I never got a reply. So, you know, we're sitting on people that could have cleaned up like 500% on their share trading. Who knows, you know. And, you know, we know the flu vaccine's trying to be pushed to people, you know, pregnancy, 6 months, 18 months, the rest of your life with aluminium and all the other crap in it. And I've had it tested recently through someone up your way, and they were finding mercury still in it. Not at the maximum amount it used to be, but it was being measured. So we don't know exactly how much people are going to get. You imagine having a flu shot from the time you're a fetus to whenever you then survive. I mean, the death rate will probably be 50 by then. We won't live to 70 or 80 or 90. I mean, imagine that many flu shots from starting in fetus world. I mean, loaded up with aluminium. And then, you know, let's not start on dementia. Do you want to switch the play to dementia and what happened today I put up?
That's the UK BBC.
Okay, well, yeah. Let's switch the play because most people would accept. I mean, the man in the streets probably realises there's a bit of a problem with aluminium. I think most people have got that in their psyche, and there's enough sort of views that, yes, it could be linked to dementia is one of the things. Well, the BBC just reported that dementia is now the leading cause of death in the UK. Now, can you imagine that? That the people like I'm 61, right? I worked out I had 5 vaccines and most of them were spread out. Like I didn't get any like
that.
6 or 8 months and I was getting another one at like 6 years, another one at 9 years. So we've got a dementia rate that's hit the main cause of death, and those people got probably a tenth of the vaccinations of what the kids are getting. I mean, the dementia could cut in at 20, 30, 40, 50 for these kids. Like this could be just out of this world, particularly if they're given the flu vaccine every year as well.
That's right.
Right? I mean, we're already seeing it, you know, but I mean, can you imagine if they get this flu vaccine up, like mandatory every year?
Well, it could be a flu mist, mist spray.
Well, that's right. And I mean, you know, they can do it on the plane, they can do it, you know, on the trains, they can do it on the buses.
Into the mist, you know, into the vaccine mist, it takes away the screaming from, you know, the kids screaming, getting an injection. They just, you know, and always when they bring out this sort of technology in regards to vaccines, you can be assured they're, you know, 30, 40 years ahead anyway. So you're wondering if they're putting it into the atmosphere, you know.
Now, I've been multitasking, Adam, as you know, us males, and I've actually found on Amazon that book that is coming out on November the 29th. It's called The Environmental and Genetic Causes of Autism, and the actual name of the author was – he had a false name on the Vax movie that I was telling you about, the Vax interview. This genetic scientist's name is James Lyons, Lyons-Wheeler, Weiler. So it's called The Environmental and Genetic Causes of Autism. He's looked at 2,000 cases, peer-reviewed journal articles on the causes of autism, and that book could be like a time bomb, that one. That's probably right. Be buried and you'll never see it in the Murdoch press, but you and I better read it.
That's right. Yeah, it defies belief, really. And just going back to some of the things you said, you know, looking at, you know, they just did the ABC TV did another hit piece on Mullumbimby. On
really?
The north coast of New South Wales,
I've talked there 3 times this year, so I better read that.
It's a hit piece. It's a hit piece, sort of, on the low vaccination rates there, and I was actually looking at some Facebook posts of some ladies up there. One lady is a teacher in the area for a long time. She teaches drama and whatnot, and she said there's never any sick kids there, but the media didn't report on that.
Don't spoil a good story.
But who did they get? Who did they get to spearhead the fear campaign on this report? None other than Dr. Cunningham. Now, what's this man's first name again? I've forgotten.
Dr. John Cunningham. His alias is J.C.
Yeah, he's a troll. He's a troll.
Absolutely. I thought he'd gone quiet.
No, he was on this report.
And, I'll go into action now. I've been sitting on a time bomb.
You didn't see that. I thought you saw my comment there. It was very good.
No.
Dr. John Cunningham.
He's
a troll.
Well, I spent 6 weeks on my website with him late at night with the help from a few other informed consent movement members, and he was up way too late to be doing his orthopedic surgeon work at the Epworth, so I hope he didn't do any negligent pieces of surgery around about that time, because I've got it all cut and pasted.
How is a renowned spinal surgeon, if that's what he is, trolling at 12 o'clock at midnight? Is someone doing it for him, or is it actually him?
No, it's him.
Yeah, because he's an absolute troll, because I dealt with him, and I directly challenged him to debate us on live radio with Dr. Rima, and he turned into a troll.
Yeah, well, I had a communication extensively with him on LinkedIn prior to then the play was switched to my Facebook page when I was going to do a Facebook Live. And about the fact he'd called me an obnoxious prick, and he managed to get Facebook to pull that event somehow, and then that was the same night I lost all of my LinkedIn posts, just disappeared, and I lost 100 draft posts off LinkedIn.
So these people are connected to Facebook.
And then I had 6 members of the Friends of Science jump on my Facebook page and gang tackle me, which was exciting. I welcomed all of that. I've got all their names.
That's right.
And who they all are.
I've seen it.
And then we spent 6 weeks on all of that, and then he went very quiet. So he knows that I'm a very interested observer of his. So if he's bobbed up again, I've been waiting for him to bob up, and I hadn't seen him again. I thought he'd gone quiet. But if he's bobbed up again, well, I've got a special special present for him. I'll put that at the top of my tree now. You've got me excited. Johnny's J.C. Biggie is out there. The man who was happy to quote to the president of the Australian Vaccination Network, Tasha David, with 6 in a row vaccine-damaged children, then had number 7 and 8 and didn't vaccinate. He was prepared to go public on her having a different father for those 2 children. That's how sick Dr. John Cunningham is, and he knows it. And you just make sure you email me exactly what he said, and that's going right to the top of the tree, because, you know, there's no way someone linked into the Royal Melbourne Hospital and the orthopaedic gun at the Epworth should be gallivanting around like that. It's a massive breach. If all the nurses are being smashed completely, what is the chairman of Epworth going to do, and the chairman of Royal Melbourne, Robert Doyle, is also the Lord Mayor, going to do about this individual when I show them the social media's done on me? Forget about anybody else. I mean, you've all been trolled. I can show you enough that if the ARPA don't move his registration on the back of what he's done just with me, let alone what he's said with everybody else, then it's just another nail in the coffin of ARPA and the whole corrupt involvement with the World Health Organization's agenda.
That's right, they're all connected.
Connect the dots, and it all goes back to the Institute of Science in Medicine in the US.
It absolutely does, yeah.
Dr. Offit and all his 29 cohorts. And it's all part, as you say, of Agenda 21 in the end. And depopulating the world.
That's right. And just before we plug out, just mentioning the pertussis one, I was getting in the local papers here. They're now mentioning a 3rd and 4th pertussis booster for kids because the original vaccine has failed so badly. And I like to bring one of these up. I've got a whole files of these, but they're actually pushing 1, 2, 3, and now 4 booster shots of pertussis onto children. And when unvaccinated children are completely healthy, there's nothing wrong with them, and they're blaming them for all these infections. But this is such an important study, this one. I've got so many of these. This is from the CDC, okay? This is from CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Yeah, the Centers for Disease Creation. This is emerging infectious diseases. But we have this big study, and I can put this up again. But in the conclusions, it talks about the effects of the pertussis vaccine and how it wanes. And really what they're saying is that it doesn't really work at all. And they're saying here that infection in vaccinated people causes non-specific symptoms. Vaccinated adolescents and adults may serve as reservoirs for silent infection and become potential transmitters to unprotected infants. And so they're saying, therefore, even young, recently vaccinated children may serve as reservoirs and potential transmitters of infection, especially to babies. That is from the CDC. But the Murdoch papers are blaming unvaccinated healthy kids who never did anything wrong. And this is from the CDC.
Well, that leads me then to I wasn't going to disclose this, but I will on that, because that's disgusting. I didn't know that I've sort of read stuff from, I don't want to mention a name on social media, she's prolific, but I've read that information, but I've never looked at that CDC like you just mentioned. That's brilliant, and that's probably related to why they pulled that year seven booster as well. But when the no jab, no pay at its height in January, there was an outbreak of measles, you recall?
That's right.
And it was in Brunswick or one school north of the... Anyway, I was later at a well-known leading children's hospital in Melbourne, and I raised that incident, and the nurse there probably shouldn't have said it, but she did say it, that outbreak was 2 children and 19 adults. And when I said to her, whoops, the alarms are going off at the Royal Children's Hospital coming up with this one. When I said to her, well, I assume the 2 children must have been vaccinated, because if they're unvaccinated, you would have plastered that all over the paper. And she said, well, I can't comment on that. And I said, well, I don't expect you to comment on that. But the interesting thing was there was 19 out of 21 were adults. You know, so all those adults could be effectively transmitting that disease to all the other adults. So what's the point of vaccinating the children and this big old herd, immunity, if it's so easy for the measles to get transferred to the adults and then the adults can transfer it to other adults?
That's right.
It's a joke. So, you know, it's not the unvaccinated. It's almost never the unvaccinated.
No. The outbreaks are always tracked back to the recently vaccinated.
Yeah, so, but that was an admission from the head immunisation nurse at the Royal Children's Hospital. There you go.
It's all over the place, and I just got up one just recently, Peter, from Live Science about mumps outbreaks at Harvard University and why are so many vaccinated people getting sick. And so all these students studying there at Harvard University in the United States, there's this terrible mumps outbreak. And here it says, I quote, according to the Boston Globe, all the infected students at Harvard University were vaccinated against mumps.
Oh, that's right. That one was a good one, wasn't it?
You know, but our media outlets will go ahead and blame completely healthy, unvaccinated people who never did anything wrong.
Well, of course.
That's their way out of it, to constantly maintain the lie. That's what they do. They've got to just, this rickety house of cards is about to tumble all around.
Well,
if their ship's sinking, how long can they continue to bail out the water with their buckets with holes in them?
I've been doing it since the 50s and 60s, mate.
God,
so
damn,
why isn't it going to go on forever?
Oh,
why
God. It's got to stop. There's got to be an end to
this. Well, they just go and lock you and me up and everyone else. So, you know, we think we can win, but we're up against...
evil.
You know, they go and, you know, there's no limit. There's no limit to what they can do.
Also, something you were just mentioning before, Peter, which is very important. I'll just give Bernie a plug here for our listeners to go on to truthlibrary.info. truthlibrary.info. Bernie's doing a fantastic
job.
Good
man, Bernie.
Yeah,
good
he man. Started this so simply, and he was asking me sort of how he can get the site going, and he's just smashed it out of the park. And Truth Library information's coming up everywhere on Google searches for all sorts of stuff. It's really amazing. And he's got the original letter from CDC Spider Whistleblowers, which is absolutely fantastic. And he says,
yeah, that's a great letter, that one.
This is the CDC Whistleblowers. You've read it. I've put it up. And it says here at the start of the letter, we are a group of scientists at CDC that are very concerned about the current state of ethics at our agency. It appears that our mission is being influenced and shaped by outside parties, forces, and rogue interests. So these are pharmaceutical interests. And that's what the movie Vaxxed is about. But our media are trying to smear it and say that it's an anti-vaxxer film because that's all they have. They don't have anything else. But it's not. It's about corruption and lying in the CDC. And now we have all these whistleblowers coming out. And I talked to you last time about this. Let's hope that this Vaxxed film and Dr. Thompson starts an avalanche of more whistleblowers, and I think this is just the start. And basically what they're saying is the CDC is totally dominated and controlled by a pharmaceutical industry who are skewering and lying about all the results to sell vaccines to suit their agenda. And these results that are coming through to countries like Australia, that will the Australian government are putting this information, which is wrong and false and misleading and criminal, into vaccination handbooks, and they're handing them out everywhere. And that's the information that parents are going off, and they're believing this information, and they're vaccinating the kids. And if their kids get injured, you know, you people have to understand, if you vaccinate your kids, it's like Russian roulette. You put a bullet in the gun, you spin the barrel, and you click, click, click. Your kid could get that bullet. You just don't know. And that's what's happening. And that's why they don't want people to see the movie Vax, because it's about this criminal conspiracy of corruption and lies and deceit going on in the CDC. But this is fantastic news. But, Peter, did you notice that any media in Australia has covered the CDC spider? I'm getting a lot from the United States because they're different to us, but I'm not getting anything in Australia, only our networks that are putting it out, our few independent networks that have been putting this out, but no one else is covering it. It's no just sickening. Covered. And this is, how many were there, 11 of them?
They didn't actually say how many. The view that came out was that there was a dozen from the woman that wrote that Huffington Post article. But,
that's a Huffington Post as well. I mean, that's coming out in the I was saying to people, Peter, if Jill Hennessy had have done what she did, lied to the Australian public about being trolled by anti-vaxxers, if she had have done that in the United States, she would have been crucified. But here she gets away with plain cold murder.
Maybe she's in the Corruption Commission.
I'm saying, though, in Australia she thinks she's going to get away with it, but we have to work our asses off to make sure that doesn't happen.
We've got to publicise next time. We'll go through. I think we should have a separate one on naming the people that are running things. Right, I've already named a few tonight. We'll just start naming the names, right? And we'll go through the background of the Corruption Commission in Victoria, right? And can I just say this? When I lodged that, it's nearly 3 weeks. You could tick the box and you could say, how do you want to be contacted lodging this corruption complaint against the health minister, right? Fairly serious issue, lying on the front lines of every part of national media. I said, I'll take the phone call method, thank you. So how many phone calls have I had since I've lodged it?
Zero.
Okay. So last Thursday, I rang up and said, I've got new information relevant to this. I want to come down to the Corruption Commission, called the Broad-Based Commission Against Corruption, and hand this documentation to. Can I have a meeting tomorrow? No phone call since. What are we up to? Tuesday. So, you know, I love it. I mean, I hate it, but I love it. I mean, because the more we can show the people that, you know, Jill Hennessy used to be the deputy chairman of the Corruption Commission.
She used to be the corruption shadow minister. You can lodge a corruption complaint with the Corruption Commission, and they don't even have the courtesy to ring you, and they don't even want to get the new information. It's not as if, like, I'm a member of the public that's sort of, you know, nobody knows. I mean, I'm fairly public about what I've done, and I've been a principal legal officer at the National Companies and Securities Commission. I've run four public companies. I've been the leading venture capitalist in Australia. I've been one of the leading players in the horse racing breeding industry. You know, they treat you like a piece of whatever. And it just shows just how massive this corruption is.
How deep it goes.
Massive, yeah. Right. And we've got zero media prepared to even report anything, even if it is wrong.
Like, it's early days, though, Peter. I think, we've been on this, but we've only intensified in the last year or two. And I think they're not used to pushback. They're just not used to it. And I think they're scrambling now. I think they're starting to run for cover. And it's only going to intensify. We're not going away. And there's too many of us now.
Well, that's right. I mean, the more bushfires they've got, better, really.
Well, they've had this whole troll network, and it's interesting that the movie Vaxxed was supposed to be shown at the Victorian Film Festival, and they pulled it, and now the festival organisers came out on Facebook and said that they were threatened and that they pulled the film because of, a concern for public safety. And I can tell you right now that's what happened to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She was originally coming here to Australia for a holiday with her husband to see Australia, and some groups asked her to do some talks across Australia, which she agreed to, and she got viciously, viciously attacked, and she pulled out. And whoever these people were, they went right to the top, and they got the government to even think about cancelling her visa, and the threats were so serious that the FBI got involved over there. And I spoke to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny the other day, and she told me, you have no idea how bad this was, the threats against her life.
Right.
And this is what's still happening, Peter. It's still happening. Well, these are people threatening. You know what this is? This is domestic terrorism in this country.
Well, it is. It is. It's criminal conspiracy and corruption and murder.
The police, it's actual murder.
The
police can chase you down to the ends of the earth for a goddamn parking ticket, and they can't find these trolls that are threatening public safety. When how many anti-terrorism laws have been brought into this country since 9/11? And these people are threatening the safety of the public, and nothing's being done about it? Because they don't want people to see a film?
Well, the Castle Maine situation... You know, I've had an off-the-record discussion on that as well, so I can't say the full thing, but the reality was that it shocked me the extent to which the various potential players around the place went to put the pressure on the Castlemaine community for that not to happen. I couldn't believe
the extent. Do we know who they are?
I know who they all are.
Okay,
I would respect their confidences in explaining what happened to them. So, you know, that I wanted to know because I was staging at that point the Summit Against Corruption in the town hall. I wanted to second guess how they would try and stop me. In the end, they didn't try and stop me because there wasn't an organising committee to intimidate, and there wasn't a sponsor. And the council that controls the town hall effectively were in election mode with Robert Doyle wanting to be re-elected. So they were running out of ways to heavy me from having it. But unfortunately, I was probably focusing too much on the enemy and structuring it in a way that I was leaving him no ability to sabotage it. But then I didn't put enough into the marketing to get people to come. and everyone was too scared after the Hennessy thing, and I just couldn't get enough thumbs on seats, you know, people to come out and play. But I was pleased that even telegraphing that Brandy Vaughan would come, and I had another US whistleblower, and I did mention one other speaker, I think, in Australia as well. They were not stopping me doing it. So what stopped me putting it on was effectively we weren't going to be showing Vaxxed, I suppose, but we were having someone that was in the Vaxxed movie, and Brandy Vaughan from LearnTheRisk.org is as potent as anyone I felt in putting a corporate message, you know, right through the CBD. There was nothing to intimidate her from coming at that time either. So I think it is possible to put an event on if you structure it the right way and you limit the potential people that can be intimidated.
Maybe in a venue that's not so expensive as well.
Well, really, if we can't get 500 people to pay $55,
I know where you're going with it. I know you want to go hardcore.
So I want to be. That's exactly where I want to be. I don't want to be out in the bushes. And you know, we had a good summit on the Saturday, but it was a private event that you know a good number of people went to. But you know,
I didn't design it for
the informed consent people. I designed it to make a statement in the middle of the central business district that this is a group of people that are no longer prepared to take this, and you're going to have to take them seriously now and face the music. And they got frightened, the government. But unfortunately, the fear is so strong in the practitioner movement and the nurses, and obviously a lot of the mothers that are worried about having their children taken off them or caught up in family court battles or social welfare battles or whatever, there's not enough of them prepared to, and there's no big ticket player that will put, you know, 30 grand on. I mean, we only need one person to put 30 grand on the table and everyone gets in for free. I mean, you know, we're all going to be jabbed. I mean, where is the person prepared to do that? I mean, I couldn't find one. I still can't. I mean, I just live hand to mouth every week.
Is there anyone out there that is prepared to put in some money to fund an event like this to preserve our health freedoms?
Not at the moment, mate. I mean,
my God.
Where are they? I mean, I gave it a pretty good battle. I was getting 10,000 people looking at Facebook Lives.
Nobody wants to step up.
Well, I even said, you know, with 10,000 people watching a video where we caught Minister Hennessy's very good public service calling Ireland and saying, look, you know, go to Eventbrite, buy a ticket and sponsor a mother to come. I got, you know how many people did that? One.
Everybody's just watching. One. Watchers.
Well, I know, but I mean, I think we've got a chance maybe in 6 months. I can't say too much, but there are practitioner groups that are now getting their act together. And if we can pull a few more of those practitioner groups that are being attacked, and we can put some strength into the what I call the Mardi Gras effect, in other words, the ability of the scared informed consent people to come out of their Facebook pages and groups, I'd say in 6 months' time we probably would have shown vaxxed in Australia, hopefully quicker. There'll be a lot more courage around the place, and I say we should go back to the town hall, because at the end of the day, the protection in running the summit against corruption was the very, very fact that no one really understood my message from the first second I mentioned it. Was the reason I was staging it in the town hall was because the Melbourne City Council called on the federal government, we need a commission against corruption federally because you bunch of A's up there are corrupt. We have to deal with you. So they called for the commission against corruption, and so did the other 78 councils around Victoria. So my insurance policy, cleverly thought out, I thought, but too clever for myself in the end, was that they're going to be very, very difficult for any of those people to pressure that event to be pulled, because they were the ones that called for the federal government to have a commission against corruption, and that was my prime action step to get 2,000 people there and petition the federal government to introduce a commission against corruption, because I can't do to Minister Lay what I've just done to Minister Hennessy. I mean, I've got Minister Hennessy in a corruption commission. Every text, every phone call, every person that talks to Minister Hennessy, whether it's Hank, Daniel Andrews, anyone else in the system talking to her, is a discoverable document, right? Right now. Now, I know that probably the commission's corrupt. I hope it's not, but I don't get a lot of faith when nobody wants to talk to me for 3 weeks, and I've told them I've got some more good stuff. But, you know, everyone's got to realise, I mean, anything they say to Hennessy from here on in on all this stuff is discoverable. Now, we don't have that ability with Lay. We've got no one federally wants to take on corruption in the pharmaceutical industry. So I think – you know, having a big event in the town hall when we're a bit more courageous in 6 months' time, finding a benefactor to put up the 30 grand, maybe we crowdfund it 6 months ahead and we've raised the money on crowdfunding. It's a free event. I mean, could we all do that? I mean, then we pay the money up front and it's done. Everyone knows they buy a ticket for free, it's going to be on, you know. So I'm hoping maybe the day before Mother's Day or maybe a week ahead or week after, you know, Mother's Day in May, we have another crack. And I think everyone will be a lot more confident by then.
Okay, we will keep people informed and up to date with that. And I think we're building. And I think to all these evildoers out there, we're coming for you. You're going to get exposed. We're not playing anymore. You've had a good run. You've had a good run in this country using fear and intimidation tactics. And, you know, all these websites like Reasonable Hank does, you know, they are simply psychological operations. Not very good, but they have been effective just by simply posting people's profile pictures and information and things they say up there on those posts. People get spooked and they back out and they don't comment anymore. Those days are over. There's just too many people coming on board now. And so you better start running, boy, because we're coming for you and we're sick of it. And I think a lot of people are sick of this. And, you know, we're not going to lose our health freedoms in this country. I don't want to see Australia turn into a medical tyranny. You know, where, you know, I mean, we people want pharmaceutical companies to own the rights of their bodies and their children's bodies and have a final say about what goes into your body. I don't think anybody wants that. And, you know, we've spoken about this before, Peter. You know, probably, you know, 10 million Australians use natural medicine, vitamin pills, therapies, do yoga, all this sort of stuff, and they don't want to lose that either. I know they don't. It doesn't matter whether you agree with vaccines or not. There are these people who represent the pharmaceutical industry are trying to take all this from us, and it's just not on. This is not the Australia I know. It's not the Australia I grew up in. I don't want this for this country. It's an assault on our children's health, on our children, on us, on all of us, and it's got to stop. And I'm seeing massive change, and with great whistleblowers like yourself, Graham, it's fantastic to have you on board. You're doing tireless work, so I think we just continue and keep going, and I know we're putting a lot of pressure on and we're just building every day. And what's amazing, as I said at the start, is we're getting a lot of incredible people who have found a voice. And what we need to do is just coax them out. They're a bit worried and they're a bit scared, and we have to just help them unshackle that fear and move forward in a positive manner. And what they're doing now, some of them, they're actually writing articles for us, and I'm printing them as an article and turning it into an actual post, and it's going out there for them. So they're finding their voice that way, and it won't be long before they want to come out more and start talking, which they already are. So I'm very happy with that.
No, that's a great idea.
People aren't intimidated anymore, and we're only getting more websites out, and the alternative media in Australia is really exploding, so we're doing very well. Before we plug out tonight, do you want to mention your Facebook page and website?
Look, best Facebook page is really my personal page. I think I'll sort of stick to that, which is Peter Little. And the website is www.fightpharma, P-H-A-R-M-A, corruption.com, fightpharmacorruption.com. LinkedIn, I must get back onto that and do a few good posts that are in that draft format. But LinkedIn, I'm Graham, G-R-A-E-M-E, Little, Knee Peter Pope. Bit confusing, but that probably will be my real name soon. Very excited you've got me back on. We're probably pretty good talkers, you and I, Adam. We've probably done it more than a couple of hours now, so I doubt whether anyone will be listening by this point, but if they are, well done for listening this long. And congratulate Adam on his intensity of bringing informed consent to the world, and particularly to Australia. And the timing is very urgent that we all get on the same page and do what we each can with the best skills we've got for our family and generations to come. Thank you, Adam.
That's right, and I'm just trying to push the alternative media approach. And did you mention your website, Fight Pharma Corruption?
Yeah, I did.
fightpharmacorruption.com. And I also think people should have a good look at Brandy Vaughan's website, which I think is very good, learntherisk.org. And I also think the Vaxxed movies are good too. We've got to get that one.
You've got a GoFundMe page, don't you?
Look, yeah, GoFundMe.
Helps you. You're running on the smell of an oily rag.
Well, I thought I'd be getting a wealth of donations for putting Hennessy in the Corruption Commission. I got about $25 in 2 weeks, so I really do need to get a little bit more than that until I get a benefactor or I start some legal litigation. But
how do people find the page?
The GoFundMe
actually,
page.
Actually, I'll put it up today.
Put it up,
with
yeah.
The post, with this post, it'll be under there, and it'll just say donate to Peter Little to help you, because you're flying around all of, you're going to the Corruption Commission, you're going to, you know, Melbourne, you're going to Sydney, you're flying around everywhere, helping all these people.
It's crazy.
And on your own few dimes. So if anybody out there listens to us can help you, that would absolutely be fantastic. Thanks for your time tonight, and we'll plug out and we'll connect again soon.
Yeah, I think it's Pharma Corruption on GoFundMe. Yeah,
I'll put
that
up.
It's GoFundMe.com / Fight Pharma Corrupt. Actually, it wouldn't fit the whole lot in, so it's Fight Pharma Corrupt. Anyway, we'll all get some early nights from here on in, Adam.
Okay.
Until we speak again.
Thanks, buddy.
And to all your listeners, wherever you all are.
All over the world.
All vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. That's my legal mantra, putting my legal hat on. So that's the new mantra, Adam. All vaccines are unavoidably unsafe.
Unsafe.
Let's keep writing that. And every time you see the religious mantra, all vaccines are safe and effective, we need to go on and say all vaccines are unavoidably unsafe.
That's right.
So say that 10 times, everybody, before you go to bed, and then that will just effectively be the new mantra.
That's correct.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye, mate.
Thanks for listening. Thanks to anybody out there in the world that listens to this podcast. I try my best. Peter is an outstanding guy indeed, and he really is running on almost nothing. So we just don't have people like that, many people like that anyway, doing what he's doing. He really has his heart in the right place, for sure. So thank you very much, Peter, for talking with me tonight. And again, thanks to all our listeners out there, whoever you are awesome. Thanks for going onto the website and following this journey. Take care.